Bibles today and follow along, we're going to be in 1 Samuel, and we're going to be starting at verse 17. And I'm going to read in Samuel. The Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Saka in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephesus Dam and between Saka and Azekah. That's the NIV, Samuel 17, verse 1. Notice their enemy not only gathered against them, but they pitched camp. They planned on staying there. When the enemy in our lives sometimes comes against us, he plans on staying there. He wants to defeat us and sidetrack us in our lives. In verse 2, it says, Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up the battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley in between them. In verse 4 through 7, it describes the fierceness of Goliath, and he stood shouting. And as we read in verses 4 through 7, it describes how fierce Goliath was. Goliath shouts for them to choose a man to fight him. In verse 9, it says, If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. How many people began the fight only to be surprised at the enemy's attack, at the enemy's advance? They become discouraged. The people were afraid. In verses that follow, we read about how David left the sheep, instructed by his father to bring food for his brothers, and saw that the two armies were facing each other to battle. Notice when the people were afraid, the Lord sent someone. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. 1 Samuel 17:20. In verse 21 it says, For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. As he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and he spake according to the same words, and David heard them. Now this is in the King James Version. All of the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled, they ran away. They were sore afraid, it says. And the men from Israel said, Have you seen this man that has come up, surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man that killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches. And he will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. In verse 26 it says, And David spoke to those that were standing by, and he said, What should happen to the one that kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? His oldest brother heard David, and he was angry with him. He accused him of leaving the sheep in the wilderness just to see the battle. When Saul heard what David had said, he sent for him. The king heard what David was saying. In verse 32 it says, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistines. And Saul said to David, You can't go and fight against the Philistines. You're just a boy. And this guy has been studying battle ever since he was a young person, and I'm paraphrasing. David said to Saul, I have kept the father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him. And I smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. I took the lamb out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. David had great faith in God. He knew that God had delivered him from the battle that he faced before. The battle that he faced with the lion and the battle that he faced with the bear. He knew God. He had spent time with God in prayer. He knew God the Father. In verse 38 it says, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head and armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go with these. He had not proved them, and so he took them off. He had fought with the lion and the bear, but he didn't have any of these when he fought. He hadn't proved them. They had not worked for him before, and they were heavy. He couldn't use those. He took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine started walking toward David with his shield bearer walking in front of him, and he kept coming closer. And when he got a good look at David, he was filled with scorn because he was just a nice looking boy, just a boy. He said to David, what's that stick for? Do you think I'm a dog? And he called curses down from his God on David. He said, come on, and I'll give your body to the birds and to the animals to eat. How many times does the enemy come against God's people with threats and the fear tactic? David answered, you are coming against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the Israelite armies, which you have defied. God doesn't need weapons of men to defeat his enemy. This very day, the Lord will put you in my power, he says in verse 46. I will defeat you and cut off your head. And I will give the bodies of the Philistine soldiers to the birds and the animals to eat. Then the whole world will know that Israel has a God. In verse 47 it says, everyone here will see that the Lord does not need swords or spears to save his people. He is victorious in battle, and he will put all of you in our power. Goliath started walking toward David again. And David ran quickly, not away, but you notice he ran toward the Philistine. He ran toward the Philistine in battle to fight him. He reached into his bag and he took out a stone, which he slung at Goliath. It hit him on the forehead and broke his skull, and Goliath fell face downward on the ground. And so without a sword, David defeated and killed Goliath with a sling and a stone. Notice that David did not back down, but he ran toward his enemy. In verse 51, it says he ran to him, stood over him, took off Goliath's swords out of his sheath, and cut off his head and killed him. When the Philistines saw their hero was dead, they ran away. In verse 52, it says, the men of Israel and Judah shouted and ran after them, pursuing them all the way to Gath and to the gates of Ekron. The Philistines fell wounded all along the road that leads to Shaharim as far as Gath and Ekron. David's response to the giant was one of fierce indignation at Goliath's attitude of disdain and disrespect, not only for God's people, but to God himself. He was not afraid, but angered. David put off the armor of Saul. He had not proved it. He had no experience that it worked. He knew his father God, and he had more faith in God than in an untested armor. I wonder how many times that we try to use untested armor. Have you been tested in your faith before? The scripture says when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. James 1:3. Before David killed the giant, he killed a lion and a bear. Before our greatest victory is won, there are usually smaller battles. In Hebrews 12:1, in the King James Version, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Jude 1:3 said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for you that you should contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The Goliath in your life may not look like the one in David's life, but the word says to fight the good fight of faith. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life, unto which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 4, it says, Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God through the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons that other people fight with. They're weapons that have been tried and tested. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Psalms 91:1. So often the enemy comes to try to steal that time away that we have with God in the secret place. Daniel put off the armor of Saul. We put off the armor of the world to walk in the armor of God. When we know God, we are secure in his armor. It has been tested in our lives. It is not if, but when that we have a battle. Last week we talked about how God is calling us back to our first love. The Bible talks about David being a man after God's own heart. And we know that he wrote the 23rd Psalm. Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's in the NIV note. In the King James Version, it says mercy. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. 1 John 4:18 ESV. We are perfected in the love of Christ. Just as David had tried his own weapons, we are perfected by the trying of our faith. Just like the giants in our lives, the Bible says the enemy of our soul tries to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life abundantly. And Psalms 91:14 says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him on high because he has known my name." The scripture tells us to put on the whole armor of God that we will be able to stand against the devil's schemes. The armor of the Lord consists of many pieces: the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the readiness of the gospel of peace. The helmet of salvation. Who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians 2:16. Satan tries to twist the truth and question God. In the Garden of Eden, Satan questioned Eve about what God really said. When the Spirit of truth is come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but whatsoever things he shall hear. In John 16:13, that's what the Spirit of the Lord speaks. When we spend time with Jesus, he reveals himself to us. We have the mind of Christ. We have the shield of faith. Our enemy tries to attack our faith. When Jesus was crucified, Thomas' faith was shaken so much that he had to put his hands in the hands of Jesus and feel his scars to believe in the resurrection. He that believes in God shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In Hebrews 11:1, it tells us this. Our shoes of readiness of the gospel of peace are another part of our armor. Our enemy attempts to quiet the gospel by bullying or fear tactics. Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin for preaching in Jesus' name, and they were beaten to punish them in Acts 4. In Mark 8:34 it says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I imagine that's what they did when they were beaten for preaching in the gospel of Jesus' name. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whosoever fears has not been perfected in love. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of the cross for all who believe. First the Jews, then to the Gentiles. Another example of the enemy coming and trying to intimidate God's people is Daniel, when he was thrown in the lion's den. Most of us know the story of Daniel, how that he prayed 3 times a day to the God of Israel. And he refused to pray to another God. He was then thrown into the lions, and the lions' mouths were shut by God. He was not eaten. Maybe you don't feel like God has shut the mouths of the lions in your life. As you trust God in every situation, he will grow your faith. The Bible says to trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Another tactic of our enemy is trying to lure us away with something that looks good. A kidnapper is known to lure children away sometimes with candy, you hear? In the story of Hansel and Gretel, which some of us remember, some of us may not, but the witch tried to lure the children into her house with candy. Sometimes God's enemies, or the enemy of the Lord, tries to lure God's people away with the lusts of the flesh. In Samson and Delilah, Samson was lured away by Delilah. Elisha's servant Gehazi was lured away by greed. In the Garden of Eden, Eve was lured away with the idea of something better. Samson was lured away from what God had instructed him because of the temptations of a woman. Today, many well-meaning people are caught in the same trap. Most of you remember the story. Samson was full of fire, strong. He had even killed a bear with his own hands. But his temptation led him to be blind, weak, and held captive, not where God wanted him to be. In 2 Peter 2:2, it says, many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. The scripture says that our enemy can be subtle. Sometimes our attacks are not recognized immediately. The Bible says he sneaks about like a roaring lion looking for whom he can devour. I've never seen a lion or any kind of predator that did not try to sneak up on its prey. They try to sneak up on their victim while they're unsuspecting or unaware. He tries to draw us away with the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Elisha's servant Gehazi was drawn away with greed and pride. If you remember the story, Elisha had healed a man of leprosy and sent him away. Gehazi followed the man and he lied to him and he took money from the man as payment, which Elisha had not asked for. When he took the money from the man, then he ended up with the leprosy the man had been healed from. It was his greed and pride and dishonesty that trapped him. Eve believed what the serpent told her over what God said. She began to wonder if the grass was really greener in the other pasture. Oh, I wonder if this, what is he saying? Maybe this is true. This cost her both herself and her husband greatly. In Ephesians 6:10-11, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The breastplate of righteousness. We know that Jesus is righteous. And Jesus is our righteousness. So then, the scripture in James 4:7-8 says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, Then stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Jesus said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. No man comes to the Father except through me. In Ephesians 6:17, it says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Ephesians 6:18. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things that appear, things that we see. That's Hebrews 11, 1-3. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Psalms 23 is a picture of not only David's love for God, but God's love for David and God's love for us. The 23rd Psalm is not just for David, but for every believer. It's a picture of the relationship we have with Jesus. It's easy to trust someone's armor when you know they love you like that. Let us take off the armor of the world to put on the armor of God. The Bible says that a man cannot serve two masters. But in all things, all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:37 through 39. We know in Romans 10:10 through 11 it says, for it's with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and then to the Greek. 1 Corinthians 1:30 said, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So then we submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. So then put on Christ, his righteousness. Ephesians 6:14. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. Shod your feet with the readiness of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let us walk boldly in the grace and the love of God today. May each of your battles be won in the victory of Christ Jesus. My prayer for all of us is that we abide in Christ today, that you and I will be victorious in all of our battles, to defeat every Goliath in our life, and that we would remain in prayer, in season, out of season, patient in prayer and thanksgiving. Amen. I'd like to call John today to lead us in prayer. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ramon, for that message. I know it spoke, it would have to speak to everyone. It really spoke to my heart. And I'm so glad that you're all able to be with us here today and on this broadcast. And so thank you for being with us here at Living Waters Church. It's our prayer that you have a wonderful rest of your week and the Lord goes with you, guides your path, and keeps his hand upon you. Thank you. Wow, very good. So did anybody have anything? I know the pastor likes to give everybody an opportunity if they had anything else they wanted to say at the end of the service, or maybe something came to mind, just something short. Did anybody have anything they wanted to say? All right. Well, I'll go ahead and we'll go ahead and dismiss. So, Lord, thank you so much for your presence here with us today. Thank you for gracing us, Lord, with your presence. Thank you for this message that we heard, and I ask that you let it speak to our hearts in the way that you intended, Lord. And let us always remember that the battles that we fight are not our battles, but they're yours, Lord. That we give them over to you. And that just as we heard in this sermon, that we are not to fear, but we are to run towards the battle, because I know the outcome already in the name of the Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you go with each of us today throughout our week, that as we go and we live. And I ask that you put this song of praise in our hearts, a song of joy in our lips, Lord. Protect us, give us your peace, and bring us back next week. In the name of Jesus, amen.